We live in a fast-paced and hectic world where it's easy to feel overwhelmed, stressed, and out of control. How do you manage all the competing pressures without losing sense of yourself? How do you stay focused enough to not only plot a path, but follow it? Welcome to Master Your Life, a show that offers inspiration, insight, and intelligence, as well as success stories from many walks of life that can show you how you can control your own destiny. Our knowledgeable and entertaining host and her guests give practical advice that you can use every day in the quest to master your life. Now, here's your host, Leah Mattinson.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of Master Your Life. I'm host Leah Mattinson, and I want to say, first of all, thank you to each and every one of you for tuning into our show today. You know, you beautiful and wonderful 360-some thousand people that are tuning into the podcast, I really do appreciate the time and energy that you dedicate to learning things to help you live a better, more masterful life, and also for all of you who have taken the time to share these episodes with your family, your friends, your loved ones, so that they can too feel a little bit of an elevation in their life, because that's the goal with each and every episode. So again, give yourselves a pat on the back, literally. Just give yourselves a pat on the back. Say thanks. Thanks, self, for tuning in and listening to all this good stuff. I'm bringing back a returning guest today. So for those of you who have not caught our prior episode, this is Jason Christoph with me today. And Jason is a brainwashing expert, a mind control expert. So Jason, welcome to the show today. Thanks again for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it. And I hope we can help together get some people morphed into the right track, or, you know, into greener pastures.
Into greener pastures. You know, this is a really important subject matter, because so many people are struggling with low energy, low mood, not feeling well. And so they themselves are feeling really desperate. And it's when you're the manager of your own life, it's one thing. But when you've got people counting on you also as the leader in your family or your community or your business, it's like amplified. And so more and more of what we see on regular media and TV maybe feeds into that idea that we are, you know, actually a lot of people are overwhelmed with the state of how things are right now. So how do you see the world, Jason? What's your background and what makes you a brainwashing expert?
Well, I got into brainwashing after I'm a self-sabotage coach. I mean, that's my official title.
Yes.
And I introduced myself and gave my elevator pitch of who I was in the last interview. But basically, yes. I mean, I graduated from McGill University in 1994. I opened my first fitness club. I went on to open quite a few more after that, but I was successful early on in business at a very young age. And that comes with some issues, because I had some of these mind viruses that I did not know I was carrying. I'd picked them up from various cultural repetitions of what I was supposed to do if I became successful. And the program that was in my subconscious mind, the cruise control part of the mind, was if I became successful, I would just party and sort of destroy myself. And I did destroy myself. I was very good as a master self-saboteur. By the time I was 29, I was almost dead. Yeah. And I reached out to a lady that worked at the Czech Institute in California. That's run by Paul Czech, C-H-E-K. And they're holistic health experts. She came to me. I was in real bad shape. I mean, really sort of on my deathbed at only 29 years old. And they're trained to come in and handle everybody with kid gloves. And she did exactly that to me. And she came in knowing I had these mind viruses. Yes, I was sick. I had digestive problems. One of my left leg wasn't working properly. But she knew this was all, those are just symptoms. Mm-hmm. The primary foundation of why I was sick was these ideas that were normalized in my mind about what health is or what life is. And so she started to fix my physical ailments while also working on my mental issues, these programs, these mind viruses that were running. They were running in my subconscious, which is the cruise control, the autonomic nervous system. They're just going to be repeated over and over and over again, no matter what disastrous results I got. And then I became very healthy under their tutelage in a very short amount of time. I went to California, studied with the Czech Institute, came back and tried to get other people in shape, healthy, and better lifestyle, trying to use their principles. But then I found people, I told you, were terrified. They're terrified to be healthy. And then I started to investigate brainwashing and mind control and psychological manipulation. And instead of taking my clients' money and feeling guilty that I was taking their money and they weren't getting results, I started to literally apply mind control techniques to them as the only thing that ever worked.
Yeah.
So I backed out, became self-sabotage coach, and I literally mind control my clients to become comfortable with being better versions of themselves.
Yeah, I really love this approach, Jason. And I want to encourage everyone who is listening to this podcast, if you want to watch us, to come over to the masteryourlife.ca website so you can see the video version. And again, because it's important to see, I think, for people, if they can, if you walk your talk. You know, so how do you look? How healthy are you? How vibrant are you? How healed really are you? When you are just this disembodied voice over a podcast, I think sometimes there can be a disconnect, right? So again, I just want to invite people over. One of the things that you've mentioned that was key for me in this brainwashing thing is about 20 years ago, I lost 100 pounds and I've kept it off. But I realized at that time that there was lots of things that were keeping me stuck in the psychology of the whole, just the culture around what to eat. Like, so it was high fat, like no fat, low fat, no sugar, you know, do these incredibly grueling workouts, you know, no pain, no gain and all. And so if you weren't able to do that, you know, then you'd sat back and ate your bonbons and did whatever. And so it was very, encouraging to hear that you actually have this formula kind of figured out about the brainwashing piece, because lots of people try really hard and they go, why can't I get this? Why can't I figure out this thing? And then you feel worse about yourself because you really haven't got it figured out. And so you think it's something that's a fundamental problem with you.
That's very important to bring up, because when you get down to the nuts and bolts of it, and although it sounds like a sales pitch, because you hear the sales pitch quite a bit that there's nothing wrong with you, there is nothing wrong with the people that are struggling. If you grow up in this society and you know how mind control works and subconscious programming, you're going to want to be in shape. You're going to do some things that supposedly get you in shape. But this part of the brain wants to fit in. Mm-hmm. It wants to be like the herd. It's actually designed to analyze. The subconscious mind is designed to analyze what the herd is doing based on the repetitive content found in your environment. Mm-hmm. So basically, the media will drown people with a lot of different repetitive themes. One of them is stay healthy, stay in shape. But there's also different ways to fit into the tribe, like drinking alcohol, being a wine connoisseur. Coffee is a very big repetitive theme in film. And these themes, this repetitive content, does not have to be verbalized. Mm-hmm. This part of the brain, the subconscious, which controls our behavior, 93 to 97% of our behavior is manufactured by the subconscious outside our conscious awareness. And it is based on the repetitive content of what we bring in through the eyes and the ears. I explained this in the previous interview. And some of the most repetitive themes are the coffee and sort of a hedonistic lifestyle, where everything's about self-gratification and pleasuring yourself and, you know, having fun. And you will act those out, even if it's detrimental to your weight or to your health, because this is the way this part of the brain is designed. So it isn't anybody's fault. There's no malfunction inside the human or anybody that's listening. If you expose yourself to the radio in the morning, driving to work, or watch movies when you get home, or watch TV shows, you'd be very surprised the content that's riddled throughout it, and you will react to it. And you are going to have a hard time being healthy and feeling energized. You're going to feel very fatigued taking in any of these substances that have been normalized. I mean, they're so normal today, the wine, the alcohol, the caffeine, the junk food is so normalized that, and people are actually very surprised when these unhealthy substances make the body unhealthy. But this is how it operates.
Yeah. I thought I was eating healthy is what I hear lots of people saying. One of the things that also maybe you could comment on, Jason, is lyrics of things. Like the lyrics of music, the lyrics of...
Yeah.
It's like...
This part of the brain is very sensitive to the repetitive content. And songs are repetitive in their chorus lines by design. And this part of the brain has been proven to write down the most repetitive words or themes. It could be a theme, and it could be a depressing song with a depressing chorus line, and it could be 13 or 14 depressing repetitions of that chorus line. And this part of the brain has been proven to take that in and conclude that you live in a depressing tribe. Mm-hmm. And the reason it would be tabulating this repetitive content is because it's a loving part of the brain, actually, and it's obsessed with repetitive content because it reflects the bigger herd or the bigger tribe. And if this part of the brain can sort of identify for you what the bigger tribe is thinking, saying, or doing, and then make you go toward it and mimic what they're doing, you're going to be safer. So this part of the brain can literally give a command that you're in a depressing tribe. It concludes this through downloading the repetitive content, and it will declare that you being happy in a depressing tribe is actually dangerous for your survival. If you're healthy in an unhealthy tribe, if you're healthy in an overweight tribe, if you're rich or successful in a poor tribe, it won't allow you to cross that border, that perimeter. It'll literally change the physiologic function of your body, change your brain function, change your metabolism to make sure you fit in. And it's been shown that even if a lady says, "I just look at cake and I gain weight," right, they've analyzed the blood when someone's repeated that, and you can change the hormonal profile of your blood to more fat gaining because the repetitive content reflects exactly that concept.
Yeah,
this
wow,
is how powerful the brain and the brain communication with the body. And again, it's only trying to make you safe. This is not a malfunction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's very complex, because if you're trying to get well and you're hanging out with people who are not well, you love them, but they're going to subvert just by your connection to them, your ability to actually overcome that.
Yeah, there's a whole book written on that. And I read, I think, a quarter of that book. I had my mind blown. If you go to Google and just put in weight gain based on friends of friends, they've even identified the research. They've researched and shown that if your friends are big, you're more prone to be big. And if they're friends of your friends are big, it's the same effect, which basically just reflects exactly what I just said.
Right.
There's a part of the brain that's always trying to make you fit in. And it's been shown that if you're in a big tribe, it can change your metabolism to make you gain more weight from the same amount of food, to hold more water from the water you drink so you don't urinate it out. And that will make you bigger. And the body's trying to make you bigger to fit into the average weight of your tribe.
Wow, let that sink in.
Oh, it's this part of the brain is wild. Even if the people might not believe this, they can even go to Google and put in something called phantom pregnancy, where the woman is only repeating that she's pregnant in her head, because this part of the brain doesn't know the difference between real life, screen time, and imagined thought. And it responds to repetitive content. If I said, so the lady says, I'm pregnant. And the body has been shown, they found women, they're not pregnant. They believe they're pregnant. They have milk espresso coming out of their breasts. Mm-hmm. They have the water retention, some weight gain. They've even found the amniotic sac in the uterus. No fetus. And this is the body simply responding to the repetitive idea that pregnancy is the most repetitive thing ripping through her psychology at that time.
Right. So take a moment, guys, and actually just write down what you think is maybe the predominant messages ripping through your own psychology or for the last 5 years. It sometimes this is easier to see in other people, Jason. You know, like you can look at your friends and go, oh, it's like, I think I know what's been going playing through your mind because this is the results that you're getting in your health and in your life. And it's a little harder sometimes. Is it a little harder to be objective about ourselves?
Oh, definitely. The human psyche is always designed to protect self at all costs. Right. But I mean, health is one thing. Wealth is where this really gets very sticky. Oh, you can move people off the wealth, the health, the unhealthy path a little bit easier. When it comes to wealth, the amount of anti-wealth or anti-abundance or anti-successful patterns or images or ideas in our media is so much more frequent than the anti-health. So when people have a hard time with their health, wealth-based self-sabotage is the number one form of self-sabotage in the world. And they're kind of connected because if you want to be healthy, you'll need extra time to have a nap. You'll need some organic food. You'll just need money isn't good for anything except buying some extra time in a day. So instead of working 8 hours a day, maybe you work 7 or 6. You're going to need that extra time to invest in your health. So they're sort of connected.
Right. Intimately connected.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So can you speak to some of those wealth?
I'll give you a good example of one. There was this football player named Michael Vick, and he played for the Atlanta Falcons in the National Football League, the NFL in the U.S. And he was from a very, very poor neighborhood. But he literally was maybe the strongest and most physically capable specimen ever to play professional sports anywhere in the world. He actually set the record for the 40-yard in football training. They test how fast all the players, even the big ones, how fast they can run the 40 yards. And it's usually a running back or a receiver that can set the record for that year. He's a quarterback. No quarterback has ever set the record. He set the record. Yeah. And he was a quarterback. And he was very well built, very strong, and a very good quarterback. And he just ripped up the league when he was first drafted. And he liked the struggle. And you could tell he liked to struggle later because struggling was what he's used to. So what we need to focus on here is the repetitive themes in his life. Struggle and poverty. He likes being the underdog. And he played, when you go to the NFL, you play for 3 years at sort of minimum wage, or not minimum wage, but sort of minimum wage if you're great. And as soon as the 3 years was over, they signed him to the biggest contract in NFL history. So he's sitting in his house and all his dreams have come true. The subconscious will compare how you're living to what you're used to. So the repetitive content of the amazing life was very infrequent. He just came across that. Mm-hmm. The most repetitive content was underdog struggle.
Right.
He quickly picked up the phone, which was not picked up by his hand. It was picked up by his subconscious, looking to find safety. This part of the brain is obsessed with safety, and the familiar is safety. And if it's not safe, it still ranks as safe. That's the thing. The repetitiveness is what this part of the brain longs for. It searches what it's used to. He is not used to being rich. He's used to struggling. He picked up the phone, phoned his old friends from his old neighborhood. Not only was this a poor neighborhood, I believe in the upper northern United States, it was lit. I think it was Baltimore, if I remember. But he was in the worst of the worst neighborhoods. Phoned his friends. Rule number one, never go back to the old neighborhood if you're a sports star. Phoned his friends. They arrived. It wasn't soon after that he started a dog fighting ring with his new contract money. He got caught for organizing the dog fighting ring, which was like literally from Florida to New York, up the eastern coast of the United States. And he went to jail. And when they're in jail, they're like, this might sound odd. They're like, this is what I'm used to. I feel better here.
Right.
Okay. So this is the wealth-based self-sabotage that I'm talking about. And then when he got out, they signed him again. He was great for the 2 years where he got minimum wage. He blew it out. Like, he completely dominated for the 2 years, signed a big contract and completely imploded again because he was no longer the underdog and he was no longer struggling and his career was over. This is what wealth sabotage looks like. And we can pick them up from media because they're so, what's called insidious programming is programming that only people like me can pick up in the conscious mind. And in most people, only the subconscious will pick it up. Take the movie Titanic. Okay. Money is bad and has to be got rid of is the primary underpinning of that movie. And this is why it's shown to the public, keep everybody struggling. But Leonardo DiCaprio got onto the Titanic. Jack Dawson was the character's name, right? In Titanic. Well, he didn't have to even buy the ticket, right? How did he get on? He won the ticket in a lotto game. He had no need for that dirty money. Right. Then there's Rose, who's marrying a rich man. And like all rich men in all movies, he's a jerk. And she doesn't want to be with him. And then the mother, who's sold her soul, and this is how she's portrayed, wants Rose to marry the rich guy so that she can take care of the family. And then Rose doesn't like it. She's in the first class cabin, and they portray everybody in the first class dinner cabin in the Titanic as stuffy, stuck up, shallow, soulless people. And this isn't true whatsoever, but this is how they're portrayed in film. And the subconscious, again, doesn't know the difference between real time, imagined thought, and screen time, thinks this is the tribe you're in at that particular time, and is noticing the anti-wealth themes here. And then Rose is so disgusted with the first class cabin, the dining cabin, she sneaks out because her heart longs for poor old Jack, the pauper. And this program's meant to also be poor because he thinks if he's poor, if he thinks he's rich, that his wife will cheat on him. And if he thinks he's poor, the women will always want him. And here, the poor guy gets the girl. And so she scuttles down, not to the second class cabin. I think it's not even to the third class, to fourth class, like poverty class. And she kicks open the door looking for Jack. She's all excited. And they're having the party of a lifetime. So if you compare the two, the poor party to the rich first class dinner cabin, you can see this insidious programming always going toward the, showing that poor people walk the noble ground. It's more spiritual. It's more fun. It's more genuine. It's more holistic. It's more in line with what you should be doing. And this is insidious programming through all film. And don't forget, Rose, you know, she's got that $40 or $50 million necklace. Mm-hmm. And right. She's still with her daughter, and she could just give it to her daughter. Then her daughter could have a good life. And what does she do? She throws it in the ocean. That was my mom. I'd have a couple words to say with her because I'm taking care of you. It's not free. You know, that $50 million diamond would go a long way. But she throws it in to commiserate Jack, you know, Jack Dawson, the good guy that died for her, died for someone else to save. This is in every movie. It doesn't matter if you watch Equalizer 1, Equalizer 2. It doesn't matter if you watch any of the Transporter movies or Transporter, whoever it was with, I forget that guy's name.
Jason
Statham.
Statham. Yes.
And it doesn't matter what movie, even there's a new movie with Liam Neeson. It wasn't really new, but he was working on the border, and he was driving along the border, and you know, a battered woman and her boy came across the border, and anyway, he had a bag of money from the cartel, and there's so many anti-wealth themes in that movie too. But it's every it doesn't matter if it's a King of Queens with that actor James. It's all about struggling. The normal job is the high road, the high moral ground. And if there is a wealthy guy, he's snorting coke in the bathroom. He's a complete loser. He's disrespectful. And this really programs people in a very insidious way, because this is how this part of the brain operates, to believe that being like, it would be automatic. It would be a cruise control toward poverty and cruise control against success or away from success. And if you happen to get a good job, you destroy it. If you happen to win the lottery, you destroy it. And you see that with the lottery winners today, between 90 and 95% of lottery winners are bankrupt, more financially destitute in 3 years, regardless of jackpot they won. And that's because they have the same programming I had that I was referring to, is that when I got my first 100,000 or $500,000 or $1 million, it was all about spend it on fast cars, blow it up your nose, party like it's 1999, like the Princess song said, and just completely obliterated I didn't obliterate all my wealth. Thank God. I almost obliterated myself and my wealth at the same time. But yes. It's these insidious programs. Like even in school, there will be a resume day, a job fair, but there's no business plan day. There's no business fair. There's no business leaders brought into the school. So it's this constant job programming, job focus. Poverty is the high moral ground. Struggle is normalized. And there isn't any repetitive content about people that's made it that have amazing lives. It's a boring movie. Like if you saw How I Lived, it's a boring movie. Right. There's no drunken stupors. There's no fighting. There's no struggle financially. I buy what I need when I need it. So there's no vampires trying to bite my head off. And like, this is what I'm trying to say, is all the movies are fear, terror, and struggle based. Mm-hmm. And that can program a person to believe that a calm, peaceful, and abundant life is actually not normal, or not familiar, or not comfortable.
Beautiful, wonderful examples. I'm as a grandmother, I'm thinking of all of the children's programming that is this bent also, that is that whole fear, loss of a parent early on in life, like Bambi, like those, you know, nothing is secure, nothing is safe.
It makes them, and it's shown in the psychological research that the abandoned child or the orphan child or the parentless child is the most frightened. It changes brain function. And yeah, it could be Bambi. It could be Dumbo. Even in Nemo, his mom died or his dad died. And Finding Nemo, And most, you'll see most Disney films revolve around an orphan child, a single parent, or just non-existent parents whatsoever. And all these things have an effect of normalization, where if that child grows up with so many single parent movies or absent parent movies, that when they decide to couple or marry, they'll feel uncomfortable. They're very prone to self-sabotage their marriage, not because the marriage is bad, but simply because it's unfamiliar to them. Like the Michael Vick, he has to destroy it. His subconscious leads him to destroy it to get back to what's safe for him.
Right. So how do we get control of this brain of ours that is just, you know, it's, and I want to say it's not scrambled because it's so rote, right? It's just, it's like redoing the same thing moment to moment, day in, day out, over and over again, you know. So we go to bed at night. Why is it at night that we actually can wake up and be thinking, oh, like, I'm so tired of this? Like, is there something happens at nighttime that actually we have moments where we go, oh, and then when we wake up, we sort of forget, like, what's going on there?
Yeah, because you're alone and not engaged. So it's called distraction. So during the day, you're distracted.
Right.
So other things are on your mind. So in the game of sort of making for good citizens, it's important not to give them too much time and space. And that's a hockey analogy as well. There's always the star player on the other hockey team, and there's always a checker that makes sure that don't give them too much time and space, like be on them right away if he gets the puck. You're Canadian, you know that.
I sure do.
So it's important in the realm of ruling citizens or producing good citizens for rule, you want to keep their minds busy, because alone time allows the subconscious to talk. And the quiet whispers will be, hey, you know, I think you're a bit more tired than you think. I think you're a bit more fatigued than you think. I think you're a bit more unsatisfied than you think. And so at night, when the TV goes off and all the distractions fall away and the boss isn't sort of directing you what to do with your energy, you get to meet yourself. You get to, you know, meet the shadow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so do a lot of people take sleeping pills so they don't have to meet the shadow?
Yes. A lot of the, only because they're trying to get back to something that's familiar. It's like they need the distraction. They need the mind shut off. So whether it's coffee is very effective at shutting the mind off, alcohol is really good as well. They are the top 1-2 imprints in all Hollywood films. So your subconscious would be getting quite a few imprints of those on the repetitive download. And a lot of people can't be with themselves because they've never been with themselves. Mm-hmm. So they need their mind sort of, it's like a car with the acceleration pedal down to the floor. That's what they're used to. So they're not used to calming down. They're not used to having dialogues with themselves. They're not even used to feeling their own feelings.
Right. Yeah.
And they push those feelings away as fast as they come in. And a lot of times it's painful. That's why someone has the alcohol or the coffee, maybe, or the painkillers. They might have a headache. They might be depressed about this, that, or something else. But it's important to feel your pain. We call that the pain teacher at the Czech Institute. The pain teacher is not a goblin. It's a guardian. And if you keep turning the pain teacher away at the door by taking painkillers, like caffeine is a painkiller, alcohol is a painkiller, there's other painkillers. The TV is a painkiller because your mind is off the, you know, you're not listening to the pain teacher. Could be right next to you. You're not listening to it. So the pain teacher, we encourage people to open the door and say to the pain teacher, and that's what happened with me with the pain. I was having pain in the left leg, migraines, digestive issues, bad relationships, addiction. And all of it was to avoid the pain teacher knocking at the door. So I just opened the door one day and I said, I give up. Come on in. Mm-hmm. What kind of tea would you like? It's like, yeah, I like chamomile. I'm like, sit down, pain teacher. He goes, well, we have a lot to talk about. I've been trying to give you little talks, 10 minutes every month for the past 10 years. We're probably going to have to do a couple weeks now. I got a lot of messages for you that you've been avoiding. And these messages, if you just listen to them, act them out, I will always get you to your best life. And I said, okay, I got 2 weeks. Hit me with what you got. And it would tell me all the secrets of life, all the ins and outs, all the base foundations of my problem and all the solutions. That's the pain teacher. It's not a goblin. It's a guardian.
Right. And so what were one or two of the lessons of life that were for you that really...
Some of the big lessons were, given the way your mind's designed to act out repetitive content, you cannot listen to the radio anymore and you cannot watch TV or movies.
Right.
Because this part of the brain is a machine and it doesn't matter. Like when I was 29 and almost dead, the pain teacher's like, well, you're kind of young to die. And I said, absolutely. And the pain teacher would say, well, the subconscious is a machine. It will act out the repetitive content to your, you know, to your benefit or to your detriment. Like it doesn't care about where the repeating takes you. And if you watch the TV or movies where everything repetitive is negative, this machine will unfortunately kill you. And I said, I totally understand. I totally see that. So that's when I started to really curtail. Like I haven't watched TV in probably 15 years or maybe 20. And as for movies, I'll review them for what repetitive content's in there and give like a movie review, sort of a mind control movie review.
Right.
But I only do it about 6 times a year because even experts in mind control, we can't buffer the repetitive content in the film.
Right. And this is, I'm encouraging people to really consider that. It's making me a bit teary because it's, I stopped watching TV several years ago. And it's one of the things that was very disconnecting for me is because people would go, why aren't you watching any of that? Like I can remember family members calling me and saying, are you going to watch Survivor? I watched 10 minutes of it and went, holy, absolutely not. Like, yeah, no,
not.
That's a big no. But then there's nothing to talk, like other people go, you know, we were having dinner last night. And it's like everyone's talking about what they're watching on Netflix. I'm like, I don't watch anything. So I feel like I'm just sitting there going, la, la, la. And I have to actually go, la, 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 la. Because even really, as they're talking about the stuff, I know the themes of that stuff that actually can just insert by the words that they use.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, you know, in that, and I think we went over an example last time. If they want to go back, did we go over the words having the effect? So yeah, the words are very powerful. If people would like to go back, I give a very concrete video that the people can look up showing that the words have power.
Yes.
And for change in behavior can change behavior very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. And even the word media is a name of a country where Iran is today. It's media is a country about 2,000 years old. That's where we get our word media today. It's also where we get our word medical. And mediation and even Mediterranean is from this country called Media. And you can look that up even on Google. And inside the country of Media were a group of rulers called the Medes. And they would teach this repetitive based mind control to kings and queens of the Mediterranean. So this isn't really new technology. This is very old technology, is that humans copy, mimic, and emulate the most repetitive content in their environment based on this ancient defense mechanism that's always trying to make you safe. And if you can control the repetitive content of what goes in the ears and the eyes of the human, you can have them believe that their ideas and their behaviors are organic to them and they're making it up, or it's nothing of the sort. It was completely impregnated into them by the media masters.
Right. So were the Medes, the media, the et cetera, was their intent mind control for, or do you know this? Was it for control and power, or was it for loving messages to help us to be safe?
There was a battle, unfortunately, in ancient Egypt between the sort of the good facets of this technology, so the groups that wanted to use it to improve society, and the darker groups. And there was a split. The darker groups were cast out of Egypt and forced to leave. They set up shop elsewhere.
They set up shop elsewhere.
Yes, they set up shop elsewhere.
In your living room.
Well, basically, the inner circle said, because the original controlling center of the repetitive content was the town square. This is how old it was. So even raising the town square, I'm not too sure if you're aware that height difference is a huge mind control modality. Because it's a domination thing. So all the town squares were raised so that the leaders were above them. If the human head tilts back and it will be sensed neurologically that you are looking up at someone taller and more powerful than you, it will invoke like sort of an obedience or compliance-based mind control. So all of these technologies were embedded in the town square. A blinding of the eyesight or interference with the eyesight is also a mind control modality, like a bright light. So they would always build the squares parallel to the setting or rising sun and have their ceremonies or rituals like the harvest time, et cetera, and they would only whenever the date was, they would make sure that the sun was blinding the onlookers. It's also, so this is basically your TV. If you go to the inner sanctum of this group, your TV is actually designed to be the town square hanging on your wall.
Right. And what does the theater actually parallel to that?
Absolutely. And the way things are filmed, you'll see the actors are always a little bit higher, even if you're, even if you're in the cinema. And a lot of the introductions inside the cinema, and well, I won't even get into that, but I'll tell you that they don't care what movie you go to at the cinema, whether it's, you're going to have The Rock in one theater and, Brad Pitt in another theater, Denzel Washington in another. I'm showing my age there. But the fact is they riddle the same themes. It doesn't even matter if it's a space movie, the same themes are there. Like even one of the primary themes today is sort of anti-male, males are slovenly. If you go to the last, I think it was Avengers or Thor movie. There was a fat Thor. He was overweight. He had given up. He's drinking. This is all on purpose, unfortunately.
Honestly, I thought, and I don't go to very many movies, but that one, I sat in the theater afterwards and just like I went, what the actual hell did I just see there? is not right.
Right. And that's right. Your conscious mind talking. The subconscious would just get so many males are bad, or males are slovenly, or males are worthless. Or, I mean, even the Simpsons, Homer Simpson's overweight, Bart has a belly, but Maggie is thin, Marge is thin, and the baby's thin. If you go to the Family Guy, Peter Griffin is overweight, the son is overweight, and Stewie, which is the baby, he's a psychopath. He's always trying to kill his mother. So it doesn't even matter if it's cartoons or real life, you're getting some very thick anti-male patterning in the subconscious.
How have people been, I don't want to say the word duped, but that's kind of, it's like, how have people bought into this storyline of kind of listening to things that are so, well, not necessarily even the whole male slant, but just dumbed down so much? Like, cause it's like when I turn those things on, people say, well, you got to watch this. So I'll watch like a snippet of it and go, I just feel like I had my brain cells all robbed. Like I feel dumber as a result of watching this. And so what is that, it's this want for people to watch this stuff that is really, we're supposed to be evolved, more intellectual giants in our, like, master your life. That's right. What the show's about. And yeah. So, you know, those of you who haven't turned off the show yet, you stuck around probably to hear this part, which is like, how do we keep getting cornered into listening to this kind of stuff or accepting that that's actually normal, or that we even owe it to anybody else to watch 5 seconds of that when we know that it's dumbing us down or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's actually a Fabianistic approach. So there was an emperor, Fabius, in the Roman Empire, and he coined the Fabianistic approach, which is a death by a thousand cuts, very patient way of allowing the enemy to destroy themselves. So this has been normalized over time. We've had this gradual shift, this inch by inch approach, where our media has become very slowly but consistently more dark, more insidious, more negative, more filled with fear, terror, and panic. And we can become addicted to it simply because of how this part of the brain works. We only want more and more and more of what's been normalized. So today, most people have to understand that they spend most of their time, their spare time, where they could be making their life better. Some people, maybe not most, but they watch a screen where actors literally shoot and stab each other and murder each other. And that's not good for the patterning part of the brain that wants to mimic, copy, mirror, and emulate exactly what it sees on the screen. That's not good whatsoever to be watching Netflix. Is everything is panic and fear and chaos and crisis based. And I find people today, like I just say, well, let's go to the beach and let's sit down and let's just, you know, have a tan. Then let's go. They have a hard time sitting. And if they do sit, they got to put the fear in them by a cigarette. They got to drink the fear with the coffee or drink the fear with the alcohol. They have to literally inject the fear into them, so their insides are gyrating. And then that's just to get them to the next physical gyration, which is running to the grocery store, running this, running here, running there. So everything's about fast movement, terror, fear, panic, crisis. And it's really taking over our society, where people are really following through with this weird programming that they need the crisis and the chaos. Like even in the US, in the state of Illinois, the Democrat governor just passed a law that sort of rapists or second degree murder felons and this whole group of felons, they don't have to be jailed anymore. They don't need bail, something like that. So we can see that many people are being affected by this need for chaos. They need their life to mimic the fast-paced crisis foundations of what they're watching. And I know that sounds fantastical, but I can send you a list of 25 mind control documentaries so people can understand this is fact. We mimic what we see. I'm really sorry, but we mimic what we see.
Mm-hmm. And I'd love to get that list from you, Jason. We've got about 5 minutes left. There's two things I want to talk to you about, but maybe we'll have to do another episode, because one is I want to get your opinion or ideas about plant medicine as it is presently presented. And second is I want to talk about the work that you do, because after listening to all of the podcast, People who are aware that they've been brainwashed are going to be looking for solutions for themselves and their families. So can you talk about the work specifically that you do, how people can get in touch with you, and maybe just flesh out maybe like what you think would be a reason why people would, after listening to this podcast, get a hold of you right away, like instead of waiting?
Yeah, they could email me at jason@freedomfromselfsabotage.com. I have my website, jchristoff.com, where I have recorded presentations that I've done live where I address specific problems. So one is weight loss, one is wealth, one is cancer, one is general self-sabotage, one is raising healthy children, and another one is fighting that insidious programming against the men. And I always break these presentations down to two parts. The first part is always, here's the problem. And I actually go get movies and I go get TV shows and I go get commercials. And for 2 hours, we go and say, have you had enough yet, public? This is what you're watching. And once I explain how the mind control works, and then we start rolling the movies, the TV shows, the radio content, the media, you know, the print media content, people are like, oh my God, now that you showed us, can I ever see it? And I'm like, good. Now part two. Now to go at this part of the brain that will mimic all that, we got to shut down what's the negative flow. We can't allow the negative flow inside the subconscious mind pathway, because it's a machine. You'll just mimic it. Mm-hmm. So I teach people how to put the positive in while, you know, toning down and down regulating the negative. That's all my programs do. Here's the problem. Here's the solution.
Right. It's simple.
Yeah. Simple. It is very simple, and it's not complex, because if it was complex, the sort of mind control that we're under would have to be complex in itself, but it's not. Mm-hmm. They just show us a whole bunch of negative stuff, and then we run around like lunatics after.
Yes, responding to it all over and over. Correct. And over and over. Correct. Again. Correct. So again, because repetition does pay off, the website again, where people can watch and access the videos.
They can invest in the videos. They're not expensive. And there's all access passes too, if they want to get full access to every talk I've ever done, plus upcoming talks. jchristoff.com, just the one letter J. Christoff is Christ with an OFF on the end. jchristoff.com, or email me at jason@freedomfromselfsabotage.com.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Jason. Do you do any one-on-one work, private work?
I used to, but I do not anymore. But if people write me, I'll put them on my email list. And if I ever do open one-on-one, I will let them know. But I do have a school, a self-sabotage coaching school. I teach other people. There's currently about 300 self-sabotage coaches that I refer out to. Just tell me your time zone and I'll refer some to you.
Oh, what an excellent resource. Woohoo! Yes. That's great. There, I was programming you all with positive reinforcement there. Woohoo! Yes. I'm not sure if that would qualify.
That would qualify, absolutely.
So I really want to encourage everybody to share this episode, to take it to your heart. Get on Jason's website just to watch and see what's there, and to understand that this has been going on for a very long time. You're so gracious with your manner, Jason, just around inviting people to really let themselves off the hook, that this has been a long time of indoctrination. And it's simple to get out of it. So it's like, give yourself a kiss today, the keep it simple, sweetie, today, of reaching out and chatting with Jason. We're out of time for today, but I want to just say thanks again, Jason.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
Awesome. So everyone, love yourselves, love each other, mind your minds, mind your minds. That's all for us. Bye for now.
Thank you for being a part of our program today. Master Your Life is a presentation of Leah Mattinson Enterprises, Inc. Join us next time on Master Your Life, helping you to discover the very best of you.